Class is back in session. It's time for Baptist Basics University from BaptistBasics.org. That's right. It's time once again for Baptist Basics University. I'm Matthew Gage. I appreciate you listening today as we continue our series on preaching. That is on our course, Homiletics 101, An Introduction to Preaching. This will be lesson number 9 in that series. And today we'll be talking about the subject, the preacher's testimony. Now, this lesson, I really wanted to just kind of do a brief overview. We've talked a lot about what it is, what preaching is, the art of preaching, the science of preaching, the structure of a sermon, elements of a sermon. Last time we talked about specifically preaching to kids. We've talked a little bit about the call to preach. And what I wanted to do in this lesson is just kind of step back and just talk about what it is to be a preacher and some of the responsibilities, some of the characteristics of it. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive list. I kind of debated whether or not to even go through here and put scripture references and kind of make this more of a Bible study or a sermon itself. But what I've decided to do is just kind of take more of a philosophical look, I guess, at what it is to be a preacher. Because see, it's one thing to stand up and preach to a congregation, on a Sunday morning or during a service. It's one thing to do that, but that's only one aspect of a preacher's ministry. See, because a preacher is a preacher in the pulpit and out of the pulpit. And you think about it, if, say, someone actually is a pastor, they are actually in the pulpit preaching, maybe 3 services a week. If you want to throw in a Sunday school class or something else, honestly, they're probably in the pulpit something around 2 or 3 hours a week. Now, you multiply that out, and that's so minuscule an amount of time compared to the week. Now, you could say, oh, well, he studies for 2 or 3 hours for each sermon or even longer than that. Well, you can even multiply that, and you think about it, just preaching, just putting together a sermon and delivering the sermon really may only account to 10 to 20 hours in a week. Now, listen, I'm not full-time in the ministry. I have a quote-unquote regular secular job, and I'm used to putting in 50-plus hours a week at that job. And, I know a little bit about putting in some hours and working hard. And I'm not saying that preaching is not hard work. Don't get what I'm not comparing labor to labor here. I'm comparing just the time. Just to show you that what a preacher does, and we call them a preacher because they preach, and that usually is in the pulpit. But being a preacher is so much more than just delivering sermons. Being a preacher is a life calling. It's not something you just do on the side. If you are a preacher, you are a preacher 100% of the time. I remember, I think his brother Fugit saying one time, God doesn't want people in the part-time or even full-time ministry. He wants people in the all-time ministry. And that really is truth. Being a preacher, you're not just part-time or full-time. You are a preacher 100% of the time. And there's certain expectations that come with that as to how a preacher should act, how a preacher should conduct himself. And what I want to do in this lesson is just go over just some very basic things. And hopefully I don't go too terribly long. I've gone very long in most of the lessons that we've done. And now that I've said that, means we'll go an hour and a half. But we're going to try to keep this a little bit more manageable and just talk about just some different things, some different areas that relate to being a preacher and his testimony. Now, the first thing we'll look at is just simply being a man of God in some different areas. The first area, of course, is the pulpit. This is where we think of it. When you think of a preacher, you don't think of a preacher, out soul winning or in a church office or mowing the lawn or something. What do we think about when we think about a preacher? We think about a man behind a pulpit, you know, delivering a sermon. So being a preacher involves being in the church. Being a preacher pretty much automatically makes you a leader in the church in some role. Whether or not you have a title, whether you're pastor, assistant pastor, youth pastor, or you know, you're just a teacher, you have some role or office that you're fulfilling in the church. And most of the time, if you surrender to preach, eventually you have some sort of a title or position attached to you. Now, I've never really had anything officially, but I've worn a lot of hats and done a lot of different things. So, you know, I've been the piano player. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I've never had a title like, you know, an assistant or associate pastor or something like that. But, you know, I've done a lot of things. And just because I'm a preacher, there's certain expectations that come with that inside the church. You are expected to be available. You're expected to be ready, and you're expected to really shoulder a greater load than the quote-unquote layperson. You know, if there's a Sunday school class opening, you're probably going to be asked to take it, if any type of ministry obligation, and not just be a part of it. You're probably going to be asked or required to be a leader in that to some role. You're probably going to be asked to run a ministry eventually. Now, I'm not talking about if you're 15 years old and surrendered to preach. This is the kind of stuff that's going to come after you've been to Bible college, had some experience under your belt. But even as a young person, if you're 15, 16 years old, or 12 or 10, you're automatically going to be a leader or look to as a leader, even though you may not, you know, you're not going to have a title, and you may not even have, you know, the charismatic, outgoing, you know, alpha personality that just takes the lead, but you're going to be looked to by your peers as something of a leader in your youth group. And that's a responsibility that you have to shoulder, and you have to live up to that. Even sometimes if you don't, this is the hard thing about being a preacher. Sometimes it's stuff that you personally don't necessarily see the point of, but you have to meet people's expectations of being a preacher. People, you know, expect preachers to act a certain way. The good thing is nowadays they don't exactly expect them to be dressed a certain way. You know, in times past, you know, that kind of was the case. You know, I heard someone say over in China, a teacher, just a secular type teacher, not talking about in the church, but that they would dress a certain way, and that I think it was their pinky fingernail, they would grow out really long, and that was a symbol of them being a teacher. So when they looked at them, he saw his teacher. Well, being a preacher, we don't have to dress a certain way, but you know, there's certain things. You're expected to not eat at certain restaurants because of for different reasons, whether they serve alcohol or, and it may be like, well, I don't have such a big deal eating there. You know, I don't eat in the bar part, but that may be something people expect of you. It's getting a little bit looser nowadays, those type of expectations, but they are still there. The car you drive, if you drive a really high dollar car, you go get yourself like a BMW, people are going to talk, well, what's this preacher guy doing driving that? Boy, we're paying him too much money. There's an expectation that comes to that, even if you don't necessarily feel that. Now, you can go drive a top-of-the-line Chevy or Ford or GMC, and most people wouldn't say anything, but the minute you drive a Cadillac or a BMW, people start thinking, wow, boy, this preacher, boy, he's getting uppity. So there's so certain, I guess we call them societal expectations that as a preacher we have to live up to. You're going to be expected to say grace at meals. You're going to be expected to know answers. People come to you, they're just going to expect you. Hey, he's a preacher, he ought to know something about the Bible. Let's ask him this. You know, there's expectations that come with that, and that goes beyond just in the pulpit. This just kind of that's in general. And also in the church, you're going to be expected to set a standard. You're going to be expected to not only meet the standard that the church you know is preached from the pulpit. You're going to be expected to exceed it. So you know, for instance, what's a good way to explain this? You know, if your church and your pastor takes a very strong stand, let's just say on modest dress, you're going to be expected to exemplify that, you and your family. Even if you don't necessarily agree, you're going to be expected by most people to live a higher standard. And also, as a preacher, you should. You ought to be out ahead of the people you're leading. You ought to have stronger convictions and stronger standards. You ought to be living a holier life. But there is a certain expectation that comes with that, and you need to be prepared for that. And not only just in standard in say holiness, but also just in involvement in action. You're going to be expected to be there every time the doors open. If there's something going on, you're going to be expected to be there and probably shouldering a load in it and maybe even leading in it. So just be ready for that. Also, being a man of God, you have to be a man of God in public. That's just kind of, you know, out and about in your actions and how you, especially how you act. I want to get away from all this, you know, well, you ought to dress different, and you ought to look professional and all that. You know, a lot of that's kind of going away in our society. Our society is getting so casual, but there is an expectation in how you act, just being kind and, you really, if you, you're not expected not to throw a fit, if you're in the type of deal, you know, the waiter gets your order wrong, you know, you're expected not to call the manager over and throw a fit and demand, you know, that your meal be free and stuff like that. You are just expected to act a certain way. You're expected to show Christ's love to those outside the church. Really, you're really expected to be kind of a meek and lowly spirit, very, very kind, very loving, very helpful. That's kind of the standard that's been set in society. And I think part of that's kind of the, if I'm not recommending you do, but if you ever watch it like a sitcom or something, if they want to throw religion in, they always will go to a Catholic priest and this, you know, this very kind, loving father, quote unquote, that, you know, is out there doing all this, charity work, and he's just kind and loving and helpful. And that really kind of has become the standard that preachers are judged by. It's not very fair, and I don't like that standard, but that really is, I believe, is kind of the standard that preachers are expected to meet. You're also expected to do nothing to harm the cause of Christ. That is being very meek and really watching your step. And like I said before, you know, watching your language, watching your actions, and everywhere you go, acting as Christ-like as possible. And does that mean you're supposed to be perfect? No. Does it mean you're supposed to be, you know, holier and be set apart from everyone else and everyone else is below you? Absolutely not. But you really have to be on your guard as a preacher, not just in how you act, but the image that you portray, you know. Listen, I like, you know, I'm a bargain shopper. I love going to, you know, places like Goodwill or, you know, resale shops or like traders market kind of things, you know, and just digging around searching for a bargain. Listen, I like books. I like movies, and I don't mind digging through, you know, a bin of movies. But, you know, you have to be careful sometimes doing that, you know, because the assumption most people being like, well, that preacher, wow, what does he do? He watching those dirty movies. Look at him trying to find something. Now, most people, that is very extreme. It's kind of like the old thing. You say, well, if they see you going to a movie theater, they're immediately going to assume you're going to go watch that rated R movie and not the, you know, not the G-rated movie. But society has kind of moved on from that. I'm kind of glad to say, I think most people just don't care what you do. But as a preacher, you really have to be cognizant of that type of image. And not just that the world will think bad of you, but that Christians will think bad of you. And that really is kind of the hard thing about being a preacher is, like I was talking about before, you know, you can have your own standards, but you really are trying to meet everyone else's standards too. And you're going to have people that have very strong standards in your church and around you that you may not necessarily agree with, whether, you know, it may be like movies or music or it could be just sports in general, just some type of entertainment. You may not have, and you may not even be sinful or wrong, but someone will have a very strong stance on that. And you have to kind of live up to their expectations too, and not hurt them or harm them. It's very, very difficult to do. And then also, you have to be a man of God in private. And this is the most important one. I think this is what where a lot of the stuff I've heard and read about being a preacher really kind of falls short. They'll tell you things about how to act, how to dress, how to react in situations, and, you know, different things to do. But, you know, all that takes a back seat to who you are inside. And, you know, your love for Christ that you have in your heart, the love for people that you have in your heart, the concern for lost souls that you have in your heart. And listen, who you are inside, that's the true measure of a man. It's what, how you act when no one is watching. It's not just that, I wouldn't go to the theater and watch a dirty movie. Will you watch it at home? Well, that really is the true measure. It's not, do you do it in public? It's, do you do it at all? I'm very careful. I don't use, foul language in public where someone could hear me and think bad of me. Well, do you use it at all? If you're hammering away and hit your finger, do you slip up and go on a, cuss a blue streak? That is the issue. It's not about image. And that's so much of stuff just gets wrapped up in image. And I get so sick of that because, honestly, I'm of the opinion no one out there really cares for the most part. They'll let you live your life and do your thing. And most people just really don't care. It's like, oh, hey, there's the preacher over there. Hey, hi, how you doing? As long as you're not walking out of a liquor store or an adult, quote unquote, movie store. Is that the third or fourth time I've said quote unquote? As long as you're not doing something like that, people just really will give you the leeway. And I've got this theory on this. Here I am rambling and making this thing longer, but I've got this theory on this, that society right now is very fractured, and there is no really unifying culture in America. You have all these different subgroups. You can have this group over here, and they're rednecks, and they're cowboys. And you can have a group over here, and they're the yuppies, And you've got this group over here, they're the punk rock people. And you've got this group over here, they're the environmentalist people. And you've got this group over here, and they're this and that. And, you've got this, they're skateboarders and snowboarders. And you've got this group over here, they crochet. And you have all these little subgroups in society. And people are just kind of accepting of that now. They're just like, okay, well, you're that way. And, listen, you have your own TV shows and your own websites and stuff you go to, your own books and magazines you read. And there's very little that unifies society as a whole. And that really is helpful to being a Christian, because most people just say, hey, wow, he's a Christian. Well, that's good. More power to him. I don't want to live that way, but if he does, that's fine. That's the way most people, I think, look at things nowadays. It's part of that multiculturalism, I think, that's been pushed on people. But people are very accepting and tolerant in the most part, and especially of Christians. Surprisingly, I think most people are very tolerant of Christians, as long as they're not jerks. And there's too many Christian jerks out there. But, like I'm saying, I'm just rambling here, but I think that really makes being a preacher a little bit easier, because for the most part, people really don't care, and you get lost in the crowd so much that it really is not as big a deal, watching your image, like some people say. I think some people, they got to give themselves ulcers, worrying about what somebody might think. And the problem is people don't think. Throw all that aside, what I've just been saying about image and stuff. It is important, but it's more important that who you are is what you are. That the image you're portraying is really who you are deep down in your heart. That you really are a sincere Christian. That you really do have that love down inside your heart. And let that shine through. And really, that really takes a backseat to how you're dressed and how you act, because all that stuff falls in place once you have the true you, the inside, your heart, your mind. When you have that pure, everything else will start getting in line. Okay, so now we're going to jump through this pretty quick. I hope. I've already gone a little bit longer than I hoped. And just talk about, what are some characteristics of a preacher? Well, you know, what are some things that they, some things they should display that should be part of their life? The first, they ought to have a love for God's people. Go read the book of 1 John. If you do not love your fellow Christian, listen, buddy, that is about as elemental an action as there is in Christianity. To the point that if you don't love Christians, I honestly have to doubt your salvation, because that's something that comes with it, is a love for other Christians. And as a preacher, you have to display this, even when it's not returned. People will do you dirty. People will do you wrong. They'll talk about you behind your back. They'll gossip about you. It happens. You have to still love them. You can't seek retribution or revenge. You have to... Bible talks about, you know, being as dumb as a lamb before its shears and stuff like that. That's about the role of a preacher in this, is love and care and help people, and don't expect anything in return, and just do it because you love them and honestly, truly love the people around you. Also with this, I think, is loving other preachers and other ministries. And I'm a fundamental Baptist, independent fundamental Baptist, and I'm strong in positions I take, especially when it comes to being a Baptist. But that does not mean that I hate people who aren't Baptist. It doesn't mean I hate people who don't line up with my own doctrinal positions. I'll give them some leeway. We have, as independent Baptists, inherited a hatred for Southern Baptists, because a lot of the early independent Baptist leaders, the early 20th century, were done wrong by the Southern Baptists and lost some battles trying to keep modernism and some other things from creeping into the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't hate Southern Baptists. Listen, I wish them best luck in the world. You know, if they're preaching the gospel, seeing souls saved and reaching people, more power to them. I've got better things to do than to worry about them. And as a preacher, you really have to be careful. You can be very judgmental and be very dogmatic about things, but at the end of the day, you will hurt people and you will run people off if you don't balance that out with some love. If someone leaves your church to go to another church, that doesn't mean you have to hate them. It doesn't mean you write them off and never speak to them again. You know, you can still love and support and pray for them. So that's all free. Next, a concern for the lost. A preacher should be a soul winner. And a soul winner is not just a scheduled time once or twice a week, or not just inside a church service or preaching gospel sermons. Being a soul winner is a 24/7 thing. You're always on the lookout to reach people, to share the gospel, to see souls saved. And that's not, let's say, not just scheduled times. This is out and about. This is doing your thing. If you have an opportunity to share the gospel, you are to do that. But, and not just sharing the gospel, you really have to be, the word that pops in my head is salesman, but you really need to be pushing your church too. It ought to be just as natural as can be for you to invite people to church and talk about how great your church is and try to get people into your church. That type of outreach and evangelism ought to be in the forefront of being a preacher. Now, listen, I am the type of guy that is not a talker. I don't like talking to people. I'm very quiet. I just assume sit in a corner and, you know, not talk to people. That's me. This is something I struggle with. I've heard people say, boy, you're not called to preach, or even you're not even saved if you don't love to share the gospel. I I like to share the gospel. I'm glad I have the opportunity to do it when I do. But I don't like talking to people. And this is something I have really struggled with. This may be something you struggle with too, but it needs to be there. You need to be, okay, so maybe you don't share the gospel with every person you meet and every bank teller and everybody else, but that doesn't mean you're not willing to, and doesn't mean that you do not take those opportunities when they're there. And the opportunities will be there, and that's something you need to be ready for. Next, a preacher ought to be servant to all. And this really goes back to the example of Christ. A preacher exists for the congregation, for the church, not the reverse, okay? The congregation, the church, are not there to serve the pastor. The pastor or preacher is there to serve the congregation. This is not leadership, it's servantship, to make up a word. Being a preacher is not all about being a leader. It's about being a servant. It's about helping people. This may mean mowing people's grass. This may mean, you know, baking cookies for someone or buying somebody's lunch or anything you can do to help people. But being a preacher is being a servant and being available at all times to all men. You know, this is, you know, getting a call at 1 o'clock in the morning and somebody who hadn't been to your church in 5 years and last time you saw them cussed you out, and they call you at 1 o'clock in the morning and they need help. Well, listen, you're supposed to be there for them. Paul talked about being all things to all men. As a preacher, you have to be there, ready to help anybody in any way. And this doesn't mean being soft and being taken advantage of. By no means am I saying that. I don't want you to get that impression at all. I'm not going to the extreme in this. But this goes back to having a love for people. And as a preacher, you know, you are there to minister, to serve people. And part of that goes outside preaching the gospel to them and teaching the Bible to them and, you know, organizing, you know, a Sunday school. It goes beyond that. And it ought to be, you ought to be just ready and willing to help people. This ought to be like I was talking about with, you know, preaching the gospel, being an evangelist and sharing the gospel with people, the same thing. You ought to be willing to help people, to take time out of your day to counsel people, to help meet a need. You ought to be ready and willing to do that. And that ought to come out of that love for people that you have. Next, a preacher ought to be a facilitator within the church. Preachers, too many times, are very... And I can't say that I blame them too much for this, because you think about it, a preacher in a Baptist church is one vote away from losing their job, and or, you know, a church split away from losing their paycheck or a good portion of it. There is not a lot of stability or security in the ministry. But a preacher should not be... always looking to strengthen his position or to gain more security for himself. A preacher is there to serve, and a preacher is there to teach and train. And as being a facilitator in the church means different things. It means developing leaders in the church. This means, you know, if you have someone else who's called to preach, it doesn't mean run them off and get rid of them because they might take your job. This means help them grow, help them reach their potential. That is part of a preacher's job. It goes into helping people to strengthen their weaknesses. You know, if someone like me is not a talker, you know, help them to become more comfortable sharing the gospel. If you have someone who has trouble being kind to people, help them, you know, help them overcome that. If you got someone who, you know, would be a great Sunday school teacher, but, you know, gets a little stage fright getting up in front of people, well, you know, help them overcome that. That's part of teaching and training people, is helping them overcome weaknesses. But that does not mean that you ignore their strengths. You need to help them enhance their strengths. If you have someone who's a good teacher, help them reach their potential. You have someone who's, you know, a good musician, help them reach their potential. You have someone who's a good bus captain, help them reach their potential. It balances out. Too many times, I'm afraid, from what I've seen and from my experience, we're too quick to point out people's weaknesses and say, well, you really need to work on that. You have trouble praying. Well, you need to work on that, buddy. You really struggle, with some lifestyle choices. Well, you need to work on that, buddy. And we ignore the strengths that people have. Everybody has gifts. Everyone has talents. And everyone's a mixed bag. Everyone has strengths. Everyone has weaknesses. And as a preacher, you ought to be helping to increase their strengths and strengthen those weaknesses. And that doesn't mean balance. That's a word I've heard too much of lately. This doesn't mean what balance would mean is limiting your strengths and strengthening your weakness. You will never make a weakness a strength, or I don't say never, but very rarely, because just of your personality type, the gifts that you have, you're rarely ever going to see someone say, well, wow, even if they say, well, I hated talking to people, now I'm a zealous soul winner. That stuff happens, but I almost guarantee you those gifts were there. They just weren't being used for some reason. And when we talk about balance too many times, we're focusing too much on the weaknesses, trying to bring those weaknesses up instead of helping people to use their strengths. Unless I think God gives people gifts and strengths to use them. Okay. You've got someone who can sing. Oh, that's great. Well, they don't go soul winning like they should. Well, that may not be their strength, and you can help them grow into that, but let them use their strength. Cause I can guarantee you that's where their heart is. Their people's hearts are where their strengths are. Someone who's a good teacher, they have a heart to teach. Someone who is just a kind and helpful and a servant, that's what their heart is. That's where they get such fulfillment out of helping people and doing little things for them. If you put that person in charge of a ministry, they may struggle. Why? Because they have the heart of a servant, and that's their strength. Let them use that. Don't push them into positions where they have to rely on their weaknesses. Let them use their strength. And all that's a leadership, and this isn't a leadership course. I would love to do something along those lines. I've read quite a bit on it, not stuff I've done a lot of practice in my ministry and career, but I'd love to do something along those lines, but this isn't for that time. But the main thing that a preacher needs to be doing is helping everyone to reach their potential, encouraging everyone to grow spiritually. And sometimes that means getting a little bit ugly with someone, I guess you could say, and laying down the law. This doesn't mean just being all sunshine and happiness and encouraging. Sometimes this means, to really help someone, you have to give them a little tough love. That happens. But at the end, you ought to be helping people. People ought to be growing underneath you and underneath your ministry. Someone who's in your Sunday school class ought to know more about the Bible. They ought to be learning. People that are under your preaching, they ought to be growing spiritually. There ought to be changes in their life. People ought to be growing. Next thing with a preacher should have pureness in his life. And this is difficult because we as human beings have our faults and have our failures. And as hard as we try to keep ourselves and our own selfish motives out of things, that usually gets in there. Should we, for instance, should we give, offerings to God? Yes. Should we give should we give towards missions? That's a great thing. A lot of times, I've heard preachers preach, and I've even done it myself, that, boy, you ought to give so you get a blessing. Well, that shouldn't be a part of it. I'm not giving to get a blessing. But there's been times I've giving stuff away. In the back of my mind, thinking, yeah, you know what? If you'll do that, boy, you know, you'll get a blessing from it. Well, it shouldn't be about the blessing I receive it. I'll be about the blessing I'm giving somebody else, you know. But those things still exist. And as a preacher, though, there needs to be a pureness in your character, in your actions, in your motives. You know, someone shouldn't be sitting back thinking, well, the preacher told me, you know, recommended this and it counts me on this. But is he really saying that for me, or is he this for him? You know, there ought not be a question. People ought to know that you love them and that you're trying to help them. They ought to know when you're preaching to them, you're not just beating them over the head and trying to put them down. They ought to know that it's out of love for you that you preach hard for them. And not just motives, but even in your actions. People, you know, if you're a blessing to someone, people ought not wonder, well, what does he want? See, I guess he's expecting me to take that Sunday school class, or he just did that so I'd feel bad about missing church last Sunday. Or, oh, yeah, that preacher, we voted to give that money to that guy just because he was that preacher's buddy. He's just helping out his buddy down there. All that stuff, you're going to be accused of it anyway. But try very hard not to have duplicity of motives, and try to keep everything you do as pure and simple as possible. Another characteristic of a preacher is holiness. Holiness is a twofold thing. There's the element of separating from the world, that, you know, shunning sin, and, you know, what does the Bible say? Even the garment spotted by the world, or something like that. I know I misquoted that, but it means running away from that. But it also means running towards God. It ought to be, you know, holiness is a twofold thing. Something that's clean is not holy. Holiness means something that's set aside for special purpose. If you study it out in the scripture, something that's holy is something that's been set apart, separated for special purpose and for special function, for the Lord. That's why things in the temple were holy. You know, was it the gold that made it holy? No. Was it because it was a table? Did that make it holy? No. Was it, you know, just because it was kept clean and ceremonially pure? Did that make it holy? No. It was because of its purpose that made it holy in the sight of God, because it, you know, it was the table of showbread, because it was the Ark of the Covenant. That's the reason why it was holy. So, too many times I've seen this when we preach standards and convictions and stuff like that. It's like, just get away from the world. Just don't listen to that music. Don't drink that alcohol. Yeah, don't do that. But it's twofold. Get away from it. Yeah. But also run towards God. And it's not growth spiritually. It's not just cleaning yourself up. You're going to get dirty again. But it's developing a new lifestyle where you don't get as dirty. Yeah, all right, let's move on. And the last thing, a preacher ought to be bold. He ought to be bold and have the conviction and the inner strength to be able to denounce sin, to take a strong stand, and also to proclaim righteousness. And that boldness comes from lifestyle. That boldness comes from knowledge. It's just knowing what the Bible says, and in practical knowledge of knowing, you know, the consequences of what you're speaking of. But a preacher ought to have a certain amount of boldness. Preachers are not weak. Someone said the word meek. It meant it's not weakness. It's strength under control. And this one, because, you know, talk about Moses being the meekest man, and yet, hey, he killed an Egyptian and he lost his temper. I mean, he was a very strong man, but it was held in reserve. You know, I'm kind of a big guy, and I'm fairly stout. I can lift a good amount of weight. I can work hard. I can do some damage. You know, you give me a hammer, I can tear stuff up. But I don't have to do that all the time. You know, the when I hold my little baby girl who's, you know, just over a year old, I don't get rough with her. I have a very soft touch with her. Now, my boys, 3 and 5, I can roughhouse a little bit with them, and we can wrestle, and, you know, we can do stuff. But still, they're 3 and 5. I can't go all out. I have to really hold back my strength because I don't want to hurt them. We're just, you know, play wrestling and stuff. That's the type of boldness that I'm talking about. It's there, you have it, but you use it in proportion to what the need or the circumstance is. And I mean, as a preacher, you can step back and say, bless God, you're not right with God if, and you could sit across your desk counseling someone and just call them every name of the book. And you know what? You may be right, but you're probably not helping them. In fact, you are probably hurting them and being so, being overzealous and too bold. That's why I led off this, and I almost wish I could end. And in fact, we'll just kind of do this. We'll go back. What's the number one characteristic of a preacher? It ought to be love. The number one characteristic of a Christian ought to be love. Not just for Christians, but for people. You ought to be a loving, caring, compassionate person. You ought to be able to weep with people, to rejoice with people. As a preacher, you are called not to just deliver sermons. You are called to minister to people. That's why sometimes people in the ministry are called ministers. Now, we as Baptists usually don't use that type of terminology, or don't like to, but minister just means servant. And that's what a preacher is. A preacher, yeah, he's got leadership roles. Yeah, he gets to lead by, you know, preaching and setting an example and all stuff. But but a preacher is a servant. You're called to serve. The call to preach is a call to serve. Well, with that, we'll call that good. That way I don't just keep rambling on and on and on and on. I appreciate you listening today. And we only have one more lesson, it looks like, to finish out this series. Boy, this was one of the original series I wanted to do when I first started doing this. I don't know, was it 2 or 3 years ago? This was one I wanted to do. It was just a basic deal about how to preach and what it is to be a preacher. And boy, I'm sad to see it end. We'll probably revisit this at some point in the future if I keep doing these recordings and stuff. But I've got some other ideas. Can't wait to get to too. But man, I'm very sad to see this come to an end. Next lesson, I'll go ahead and tell you, is lesson number 10 of this series is going to be focusing on being a preacher boy. You know, this is what you do if you're a young man, you know, still in grade school, high school. You felt called to preach. You surrender. What do you do? You know, how do you act? How do you prepare? What should your life plan kind of look like? That's the kind of stuff I want to deal with just very briefly. I think it'll be a big help to you, and just some encouragement to you, some things I've learned, some things I've seen that I think will be a help and a blessing to you. So I can't wait to get to that. Just remember, go by BaptistBasics.org for other resources. Check out the other lessons. This is the first one you've ever listened to. Some of the other lessons in the Baptist Basics University series. I appreciate you listening today. Email any comments to podcast@BaptistBasics.org. And I'll see you next time. I'm Matthew Gage. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you.